Hello, everyone, and welcome to the NeuroDiverse Teacher Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Kristen Eccleston, aka the NeuroDiverse Teacher. And today with me is Kevin Palmieri. Now, Kevin, did I say that correctly?
You did. You crushed it.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure. So Kevin is the CFO, founder, and co-host of Next Level University, a global top 100 self-improvement podcast with more than 1,000 episodes and 600,000 listens in over 125 countries. Kevin believes in a heart-driven, no BS approach to holistic self-improvement. And after personally experiencing his own struggles with anxiety and depression, he enjoys sharing his newfound knowledge of holistic self-improvement to help people get to the next level. So welcome, Kevin, to the NeuroDiverse Teacher Podcast. I'm really excited to have you here.
Likewise, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for the wonderful introduction. Hopefully we can live up to the introduction today, but I'm excited to be with you. I appreciate it.
No, absolutely. We're going to live up to it. I'm really excited. So I'm going to jump right into my first question for you is, tell me more about you, your 20s, this realization that you made that something in your life needed to change. What did that look like? How did you get started? Because I feel like sometimes it's the hardest thing for people is like getting started.
Yeah, for me, it came from a place of pain and necessity, which unfortunately often creates change in our life. So if you saw me when I was 25, you would see a man who had a beautiful girlfriend, a high-paying job, the body of my dreams. I had just won a bodybuilding show, sports car, all the measures of success you could ever want. But what ended up happening was my girlfriend came to me one day and she said, Kev, I want to move across the country from the East Coast to California, and I want to chase my dreams. And in my scarcity, in my anxiety, in my insecurity with myself, I gave her every reason in the world why she shouldn't do it. And she was a very confident, aspirational human being. And you can imagine how that conversation went and what happened after that. She ended up leaving me, which she should have done. And she went and chased her dreams. But that was the initial something isn't right here for me. That was a new level of awareness that something I did just sabotaged this relationship. I don't know what any of this means. Who could possibly love this version of Kevin? So I gained a new awareness. Now, the problem is I assumed that more external results would fix my internal voids. So I looked in the proverbial mirror for like a week. And then I said, you know what? Let's set some goals. That'll do it. I need to make more money. So I said that my goal was to make the most amount of money I had ever made starting in that next year. So I got a promotion at my job. Mm-hmm. I was in an industry called weatherization. So we would go into buildings and make them more energy efficient. I worked for the state basically. So I got paid anywhere from $60 to $120 an hour. So cool. Love that. More money. Let's do it. So if you fast forward to the end of that year, Kristen, I had been on the road for 10 months out of the 12 months. Every single week, wow. I lived in hotels. These were not the nice hotels. I was working in different states. I'm working different shifts. But it's in alignment because I'm focused on making as much money as possible. I'm okay with grinding because that's what it takes to get this result. So we get to the end of that year. I had my final pay stub in hand. And I opened it up and I made $100,000 at 26 with no college degree. But I had another one of those moments where it felt really good to get the external for all of 5 minutes. So
yeah,
I end up saying, okay, what's happening here? Like, am I in some pattern? What's going on? So I realized that for most of my life, especially that year, I had lived unconsciously. The opposite of unconscious is hyperconscious. Started a podcast called the Hyperconscious Podcast, fell in love with podcasting while I'm falling out of love with my job. And almost overnight, I was like, I can't do this travel thing anymore. It's not aligned. It's no longer aligned for me to do what I was doing for the previous however many years. So I start calling out of work. I start leaving the job site early. I start showing up late. I would have to be in New Jersey Monday morning at 7 a.m., and New Jersey was 6 hours from where I lived. I would go to bed in my bed Sunday night, 9 p.m., sleep until midnight, And then I would get up and drive 6 hours straight to the job site. And then I would work an 8 hour day. And then I would go to the gym after. And that was just, I needed another night at home. I was just so homesick. Mm-hmm. I was just so homesick. And it kept getting worse and worse. And I kept pushing and pushing because I didn't know what else to do. And eventually it got to the point where I woke up in a hotel room in New Jersey at 5:15 in the morning. My alarm clock went off. I sat up. I slid to the edge of my bed, lacing up my work boots. And the best way to describe it is that morning, it was like there was 10 televisions on in my head at the same time. And every single one was on a different station. And one is saying you're stuck here forever. There's no way you're ever going to get a job that pays you like this. How are you ever going to go backwards in life? If you do work up the courage to leave, what are your friends going to say? You make more money than any of your friends. They all look up to you. Significance. There's significance there. If you do decide and work up the courage to leave, your family's going to feel the same way. They all look up to you too. And this was the loudest one. Do you really think you're going to go do this podcast thing? Like, that's what's going to happen. Like, we're going to leave here and we're going to have a successful podcast and we're going to be a professional podcaster. And in that moment, I felt that if I was to take my life, I would take my problems with me. Now, one of the things I talk about so often, and I love talking about, is the importance of your reference group, the people around you. I had somebody who was a really good friend at the time who I felt safe reaching out to. I sent him a message. Mm-hmm. Said, hey, I'm having these thoughts, I'm having these feelings, I'm having these emotions. What do I do? And in his wisdom, he said, so much about your life has changed over the last few years, especially your awareness, but your environments have remained the same. I think it's time for you to change your environment. So I ended up leaving that job 3 or 4 months later and then going into what we're doing full time. I partnered with the person who gave me that advice, and he's now the CEO of our company. And here we are 5 years later, and I get to do this every day. But the reason I like telling the story is not because I want somebody to say, you know, wow, he came from turmoil and rock bottom. I just don't want you to think that I've been where I am today forever, because that doesn't serve any purpose. It doesn't help you understand that potential is in front of you and there's a lot you can do from where you are today.
You know, I love that you pointed that out, because especially I think a lot of young people think, oh, I'm just going to be this influencer. I'm just going to be this thing, and it's just going to, you know, I'm going to make one video and it's just going to happen. But I mean, you found success, but you had to build up to it, right? Like, you had to decide to make a change, and then you've built up that success. And so I think a lot of times people hear this like, oh, this overnight success, but in reality, there was probably a lot of work and time that went into what could feel like or seem like an overnight success. Would you agree with that?
I believe that there is no, and again, if you hit the lottery, maybe it's overnight success, but the odds that was the first time you ever bought a lottery ticket, that's also astronomically low. So even that isn't overnight. But I don't believe in overnight success. I think what it is overnight awareness. Taylor Swift was just as good at the guitar and singing the day before her album dropped and she made it. It just nobody knew yet. So there's a big difference between overnight quote unquote success and the overnight awareness that happens when somebody actually makes it. So I would agree with you 100%.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And you know what? I also think, you know, that was a moment too. I define life in moments. You know, you can have moments that go really, really south, and you can have moments that are really, really great. And kind of the Taylor Swift example you gave, that was a moment. And it sounded like you had these series of moments in your life that maybe were not the best moments, but they're the ones that kind of then put you on the path to lead you to those moments of having success and having those excitement.
Yeah.
And I like that. And I like to give that message to people, because I think sometimes people forget that you have to have those low lows to have those high highs.
Yeah.
So you've made this change. You decided to make the change. What did that look like day one for you when you said, okay, I'm leaving. You know, how do I go forward from here?
I remember it like it was yesterday. There was, number one, a giant weight lifted off my shoulders. Number two, a giant, bigger, different weight put back on my shoulders, because it was like, oh, this is awesome. Oh, my goodness. What does this all mean? Day one was me literally trying to figure out what this meant. Like, what does it mean I've had a job in some capacity since I was 16. And here I am at 27. And for the first time in my life, I have no clue what to do, really. I know I'm not going to go get another job. It was this very weird feeling of ultimate freedom, but also a lot of fear and uncertainty. And one of the interesting things that we did that I don't think a lot of people do is we focused on character. That was really the main focus, was let's focus on character and get rid of the junk that we know is not going to serve us and our community. And let's focus on competency. What are the things that I lack competence in that I will thank myself in the future for learning today? And we've been playing the long game since the very beginning. So I think that's something different that we did, is at the end of the day, for most of us, our success is going to be correlated to our level of self-improvement. So your self-improvement set point is going to dictate a lot of the opportunities that you get. I believe at a deep level that the higher my self-improvement set point, the higher my opportunity to impact. And if I impact more people at a high level, I'll be able to build my business on that as well. So that's really the focus for us, is competence and character first.
I love that. Now, let me ask you, why you were building that. Did you feel confident the whole time that you were going through everything? You're like, I've got this. Or did you ever have periods of time, though, where you're like, okay, what did I do? Why did I make this decision? Did self-doubt ever creep back in? Or is it like, I've made the decision and I feel confident 100%?
No, I literally, and I love doing this because I don't think a lot of people do it. I looked at your website before this. And I was like, oh boy, I'm going to be in over my head here. And I literally had that moment of self-doubt before this. I still get it daily. Every day I wake up and there's something I don't believe I can do. But now at least I have, and I say it, it's two R's. I have recent and relevant proof that shows me otherwise. I did a podcast earlier with a psychologist. And I had the same thing where it was like, I am in trouble here. And I said the same thing on the interview, but now I have recent and relevant proof. So no, I would be lying if I said I believed in the fact that we were going to be successful. For most of the time, I was in the anxiety zone. I was too far in fear, to the point where I was having panic attacks at times. And I developed anxiety when I never knew what that was. I was quite literally living in anxiety for the first couple years. I didn't know how we were going to make money. I didn't believe most of this was possible. No.
So how do you combat that? What did you do when that thought process creeped in? How did you overcome it? Because I think that's one of the hardest things, is most people just go, forget it. It's too much. How do you overcome that?
I think it's important to lean on the people around you, right? And again, I'm very careful when I give advice on this, because I do not know that most people, and I don't mean this with ego, but I don't believe that most people would have been able to handle the amount of fear, uncertainty, pressure, and pain I was dealing with. And I don't think it's healthy, honestly. But I think you have to say, this is what I would say. On a scale of 1 to 10, how outside of my comfort zone am I? If it's a 10, dial back. Dial back. Mm-hmm. If it's a 2, you can handle more. You can handle more. I had somebody reach out to me, and this person wanted to be a speaker. One of the biggest fears ever is speaking. Completely understandable. I'm still afraid of it to this day. I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how outside of your comfort zone is it for you to do a Facebook Live? And she said, 12 out of 10. All right, we're not going to start there. On a scale of 1 to 10, how outside of your comfort zone is it for you to record a video to yourself and show nobody? 0. Too easy. What if you record a video and you send it to me, and just me? And she said, that's probably like a 5 or a 6. Cool. Let's do that. Perfect place to start. So I think a lot of us are looking at the peak of the mountain saying, I have to find a way to get there. Mm-hmm. When in reality, what's the next step? What's the next step? I lived on the peak of the mountain for the first 2 years. Too much. I think for everybody else, it would benefit them to say, on a scale of 1 to 10, where am I in regards to my comfort zone? Am I living in anxiety, or is this a good learning experience for me? And then dial back or forward accordingly.
I love that. Because you're kind of promoting this idea of, it's not the destination that we have to jump to right away, but what little baby steps can we take as we get to that destination? I think that is perfect.
Thank you.
So, okay. So you have left work. You have set yourself up the anxiety zone. Okay. So tell me a little bit more about this anxiety zone. What were you doing, and how did, when you realized you were just seeking that kind of top of that mountain, how did you start bringing it back? How did you get that anxiety zone to get to a point where you were functional and able to really focus on what you were doing in a more productive manner?
Yeah. So when it really hit me, Alan, my business partner and I flew down to Florida to meet up with a mentor. Mm-hmm. And then we were going to fly out to Arizona for a Brendon Burchard event. And this was all on credit cards at the time. We didn't have any money. So that's another stress point. I don't like planes. I dislike planes mm-hmm. strongly. And traveling gives me a ton of anxiety because I have the remembrance of what it was like to spend so much time on the road. And I have a lot of trauma around that. Right. So we fly down to Florida. First time I've been on a plane in several years. We go straight from the airport to the gym because that's what we do. That's what we like to do when we travel. I get towards the end of my workout and my throat starts getting tight. And I'm like, it's hot down here. Maybe it's the allergies, whatever. We go back to the hotel and I had an anxiety attack or panic attack. I don't know technically what it was for the first time ever. And I was like, okay, I don't know what this is. So I called my mom and I said, hey, I think I'm having an asthma attack because I used to have really bad asthma. And she said, no, if you have an asthma attack, these things would be happening. Maybe it's something else. So that was the first time I ever really had an understanding of, okay, something's happening here. We fly to Arizona and it was like 110 degrees. We tried to eat lunch outside one day. I couldn't even eat because I couldn't swallow my food because I was so anxious. Didn't know what it was. I thought it was the heat. We go into the event and one of the presenters is doing a breathwork seminar. And I literally couldn't do it because I was so anxious that I was afraid I wouldn't be able to catch my breath. It was one of the most challenging weeks of my life from an internal perspective of like, I am afraid I'm going to die. Like there is a fear that I don't know what's happening and I might die if I do these things. Mm-hmm. After that, I started researching anxiety and I started understanding, oh my goodness, it's not allergies. It's not asthma. This is an anxiety reaction. So when we got home, I had to reteach myself what was safe and what wasn't. I couldn't put my covers over my head. I couldn't walk on the treadmill for a long time. So what I tried to do was I tried to ask myself, it really is that exercise. Anytime we did anything, I would try to make sure it wasn't too far outside of my learning zone. And what I would do is I would try to say, okay, I have a very stressful end of the week. I'm going to preload the beginning of my week with less stress. So I'm just thinking of like the barometer of stress I'm trying to keep below a certain number. And as I continued doing that, I started to understand myself at a deeper level. This is how much this takes out of me. This is what this experience feels like. And now it's like, I do so much more now, but I still am always running that tally of, okay, where am I? I told my business partner recently, I think I did 30 episodes in a week, 30 podcast recordings between our show and other shows. And I said, too much. I said, that's way too, I'm burning down. Like I'm anxious. I'm in the anxiety zone. So then we landed on 17. So I'm doing 17 a week now. I'm okay. That's in the learning zone. So even to this day, we're still running that algorithm and it's working very well for me.
Well, I like that you have found the balance and you're right. I mean, it is hard. I think I have found that as an entrepreneur too, that it's crazy, your schedule, right? And it fluctuates from day to day. And then you do realize, oh my gosh, okay, this is too much. I'm burning myself out. I'm freaking out. And it's a lot. That anxiety aspect is a lot. So do you feel like you still are just kind of trying to tweak? What does that look like on my day-to-day basis? Like, this is too much. I mean, what are kind of some of your self-care or your boundaries that you put in place to make sure that that is not something that is perpetually happening to you?
Yeah, I had a conversation with Alan recently and I said, hey, I need to change my hours because I was working from basically, I would get up at 4:30, I'd go to the gym and I consider the gym work because it's so I can be more productive and produce at a higher level. So I was pretty much working from 4:30 in the morning until 7 p.m. every night. And I went to Alan and I said, hey, my relationship is suffering. I mean, I haven't had dinner with my wife in months because I've just been grinding. I need to change my schedule to be more sustainable for life. So I switched my schedule from what it was to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. So you and I are recording this until 5. After this, I'm done. My father-in-law is coming over. We're having dinner. Awesome. So for me, it's been, and this is a fine line, but for me, it's been removing the badge of burnout is okay to putting the badge on of it's also a superpower to get a ton of stuff done, but not burn yourself out. That has been the shift for me that I'm trying to live in right now. And the self-care for me really is I try to rate myself. I really do. Like on a day-to-day basis, where am I today? You know, today's not that bad. I'm good today. Today's a 5. Like I could do way more today. All right, cool. What about tomorrow? What's tomorrow look like? Tomorrow's probably going to be a 6 or 7. All right, cool. It's really that. And then it's reflecting after the week to say, okay, how accurate was I with my projections?
So it's an ongoing process. It's not something that, you know, it's constantly making sure you're setting those boundaries and checking in with yourself to make sure that you're in a good space. I like that. Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about Next Level University and what does Next Level University do for other individuals?
So Next Level University is the name of our podcast, but all of the business under it. So Next Level University is a podcast. We do 7 episodes a week. We say heart-driven, but no BS, holistic self-improvement for dream chasers. That is us in a nutshell. So that's that. Below that, we basically set up our business from a standpoint of no matter where your financial set point is or where your self-improvement set point is, there is somewhere for you. So we have monthly events every month, completely free. We never charge for anything there. But we also have one-on-one coaching, group coaching to help people be more successful holistically, not just financially, not just in your relationship, but how do you connect all of those? That's really what we're trying to bring to the world. And we try to help people make sustainable small improvements. It's not going to happen overnight, like we talked about earlier. It happens every night. Right? It happens a little bit every night, not all at once overnight. Mm-hmm.
And what is successful holistically? Like, what does that look like for someone who might not understand that, the terminology? So if you're helping them to become successful holistically, what does that mean?
To me, and the way we've put it out there is you're the healthiest, wealthiest, most in love version of yourself. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have the most money in your bank account. Maybe it means that you're making money in an authentic way that feeds the world and it feeds your soul. The most in love doesn't mean necessarily you are in the best relationship. Maybe it means you're having the best relationship with yourself that will allow you to attract your dream partner and sustain that relationship. And then health, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're in the best shape you've ever been, but maybe you're meditating and you're taking your mental health more seriously. The ultimate goal is to trend up, right? If we can trend up in health, that's great. If we can trend up in wealth, that's great. If we can trend up in love, I mean, that is going to be a very fulfilling life when you're making progress towards becoming the best version of you possible, I believe.
I love that. So what do you think are some of the biggest challenges for people who want to do that, who want to be, you know, successfully holistic, but they feel stuck or, you know, we all know change is scary, right? You know, and the brain isn't even wired to want to accept change either. What are some of the biggest things that you see that stop people from becoming that best version of themselves?
Unfortunately, one of the biggest things I see is the circle that you have around you. So there's a lot of people who, it's not that they don't want to see you succeed, but I think at a subconscious level, they understand if this person is growing and I'm not growing, that could create potential room for conflict in this relationship. So I really believe it's the fear of judgment of the people closest. Look, there's a lot of people that think self-improvement is a scam or, you know, it's some sort of weird cult. Like, you want to get better? That's weird. I mean, there's still a lot of that out there. So we have to check in with who are the people around us. And one of my favorite questions for this, Kristen, are the people in your life the best from your past or the best for your future? Are these people in your life because they've always been in your life? We used to party, we used to go to school, we used to work together, or because you want them to be chasing their dreams alongside you, or at least they are supporting you in the pursuit of what you want? That's a big one. I think the other thing that really jumps off the page is it's a lack of belief. In order to take a new action or set a new goal, you have to have a few beliefs. And one of them is it's humanly possible. One of them is it's possible for me personally. And number three, it will be worth it. It will be worth it to try what I'm going to do. But most people don't believe it will be worth it if they don't think they'll succeed. So you said this earlier. If you do not have belief that you are capable of accomplishing something, why would you try? There's no reason in trying if you don't think you can do it. Finding something that at least creates a little bit of runoff on belief. So when I say that, all I mean is, where can you borrow belief? Find somebody in your life who you can shadow when they do something that scares you. Find somebody in your life that can pour belief into you and help you get over the fear of judgment. Quick story. We had a young lady reach out to me one time and she said, "Hey, Kev, I'm afraid to approach strangers." And I was like, I think everybody is. I am too. It's the worst. It's scary. But I said, All right, you live close to me. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go to the mall and we're going to start conversations with strangers. This is going to be great. So we met at the mall. We hugged it out. And I said, "Okay, this is what I want you to do. We're going to go into this store. They sell giant bean bags. Just go ask them about the bean bags. Just go to the counter and ask them." And she said, "No, it's going to be weird." And I said, "It's their job to have a conversation with you. I promise it will go better than you think. And I'll go do it first, right? Let me go do it first." Mm-hmm. Goes well. We go into another store, same thing. Another store, same thing. We go to the food court. Let's take it up a notch, right? Let's get into the learning zone. Goes well. By the end of the day, she's having conversations with strangers. We're getting ready to leave that day. And there's these mechanical zoo animals that you can rent. They're just zoo animals on wheels. Don't know.
Oh, I know don't exactly know why what you're talking about.
Do you?
Yep.
Nobody ever does.
They're at our local mall. And you can get on them and like ride them around the mall. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes. So we were getting ready to leave and she said, "If we were brave, we would ride those." And I'm like, "Oh no, I don't want to do that." But I have a video of us on my phone riding these mechanical zoo animals around the mall. That young lady then went back to school and graduated with a 3.8 or 3.9 GPA.
Wow.
Got her dream job. Moved to Nashville, Tennessee from Rhode Island and is now on the team. And that's just an example of all I did in the beginning was I let her borrow my belief. Look, I will walk through the snow. Just step in my footprints. That's it. That's all you got to do. And then she learned to practice that on her own, figure out where the comfort zone is, where the learning zone is. So I think that's a big one, is we don't do the first thing that scares us. And if you don't do the first thing that scares you, you're never going to be able to do the next thing that would scare you a little bit less.
So how much do you think is fear that holds people back from leveling up or taking that next step? I mean, how much would you contribute that to being fear? Do you think it is 100% it's fear that stops people?
I think it's fear, because there's a fear of success. I never knew that. Isn't that what we're doing this for? But Alan had more of a fear of success, because to Alan, every time he got more successful, he lost more people. Fear of loss. So I think it is the fear and or uncertainty connected to an outcome, whether it's rejection, whether it's failure, whether it's looking bad, saying the wrong thing, being too successful, being too much, too loud, too confident. I think it's fear. At the deepest level, I think it's fear.
And do you think that fear stems from, you know, and I'm going to get deep here for a second, but maybe from experiences people have had when they were younger? You know, if rejection is the fear, maybe you were bullied, or you know, people didn't like your ideas, or you were too loud, or do you think that's where people's fear ultimately is stemming from, is some kind of trauma, for a lack of better words, that they have experienced when they're younger and now that's holding them back as adults?
Yeah, I think it's either that, or it's perceived potential for trauma. So if for me, one of my insecurities is being short, right? I'm 5'4" on a good day. I'm not a tall man. If that's my psyche from the time that I am, you know, I'm a freshman in high school, everybody's growing but me, my deepest fear is somebody's, especially a female, is going to call me out and say, "No, I don't want to date you. You're short." So that becomes my paradox, where, well, what if Kristen sees me in person is like, "Oh my God, you're shorter than I thought." Oh my God, that would be the worst possible thing to happen. So I avoid that. I avoid that. I avoid that. Then when I get on dating apps later in life, I am messaging them, "Hey, just so you know, I don't know if this is a big deal or not, but I'm only 5'4". Does that matter?" That's weird, right? So that's reintroducing. So,
but you're trying to protect yourself in doing it, but not really. Okay.
Yeah. It's almost like
I didn't mean to cut you off on that.
No, you're good. You're good. It's almost like I'm getting the opportunity for pain in advance. Like, just tell me if it's not okay. That way I don't have to meet you and get embarrassed. I'll be less embarrassed. So yeah, that's a fear that hasn't necessarily happened to create a trauma, but I think the imagined feeling is traumatic enough for me to want to avoid it at all costs, and which is another fear.
You know what? I love that, because I deal a lot with trauma and generational trauma in what I talk about and what I do. But it's this perceived trauma. So you've just kind of put a new thought in my head today. And now I'm going to get hyperfixated on this later, because this perceived trauma is a really big thing. And I think you're right. I think it does hold a lot of people back, and we don't. And I think I'm guilty of it. I think we're all guilty of it. If, you know, because nobody likes rejection. Rejection is not a fun thing. We've all dealt with rejection at some point in time. So this perceived trauma, you've just made my brain go on fire here, Kevin.
I appreciate it. I'm grateful. I'm grateful.
No, I love it. I just mind geek out on the brain stuff later. So if people want to work with you about, you know, trying to get to, what does that look like? Is there more than just, you know, going to the mall, and it sounds like you help them kind of go through some of those fears, but what does it look like to work with you? What are some of the things that people can expect in trying to kind of take those next steps?
Yeah, I always suggest people listen to the podcast. I do, because at the end of the day, I want you to know us. I want you to know who we are, and I want you to resonate with us long before you ever work one-on-one with us. But it really is this at the deepest level. I want to help you re-identify as the type of person you want to be, not the person you used to be. So it's identity level change through deep conversations like this. And then it's creating tactics based on that new identity change that'll actually allow you to get the results that you want. We all think we want a certain thing, but most of us want something different. And we all think we are a certain type of human, when in reality, most of us are drastically different, usually way better. So it's really about raising awareness, creating a new identity, and then taking the actions necessary with that new identity.
Let me ask you a question about new identity. I have had this happen to me, so this is kind of where this question is coming from. I had an instance in my life about 3 years ago where it's like my world came crumbling down around me, and then it kind of put me on this new trajectory. And although this new trajectory was a good thing, I had to go through almost this grieving process of, while I was coming into this new identity, which ultimately is a better, stronger identity, it was almost having to grieve the loss of my old identity. And hopefully this is making sense in the way that I'm saying it, because I had gone through some traumatic things. I couldn't think or function the way that I used to, you know, my mental health creeped in, and I was no longer able to, you know, keep as many things in my mind as I once was, or be as organized as I once was. And I really, really struggled with that. Is that something that you find that people may not want to try and go about changing themselves or going through this experience of finding this self-holistic experience? Because this identity change can be really, really scary, because you almost have to go through a semi-grieving process. And did you go through that as well too, when you kind of made that shift from kind of being in the grind to stepping out of the box?
Yeah, that is a deep question. That is an awesome question.
Sorry.
No, I love it. I love it. I don't think I struggled, because I didn't really change that much. If anything, I'm more of myself now than I ever was before, almost like I already had two identities. I had work Kevin, and then I had hyper-conscious Kevin, who talks about deep stuff, like what if the gravity took a day off? So I think for me, I don't think I struggled with that a bunch. I think I haven't seen that a ton. And here's why. Because I believe that most of the people I have worked with understand at a fairly deep level that the identity that they have is disempowering. And I think they want to get away from that, because there's so much, I don't want to say pain, but there's so much... Yeah, we'll just say pain. There's a lot of pain with that identity, based on the fact that, wow, is this the thing that's been holding me back? Maybe with you, and I don't know, I think you probably know this at a deeper level than I. A lot of us, I think, when our identity creates the significance in our life, it's very hard to start over with no significance. So if you're going from somebody who is crushing it with one identity to, even though I'm starting a more aligned thing, there's no significance here, there's no certainty, there's no love, there's no connection, my identity is all messed up, is this all actually going to work out? I haven't seen a lot of that with the people I've worked with, but I think it's because usually they're coming from a lower place in terms of their results based on what they actually want.
And that is 100% valid. And I will have to say, I was that person who was coming from a spot where things were good. I was being successful and things were in a good place. I had no desire for anything to change. And the universe essentially had another plan. And I guess when I didn't take the subtle hints, decided to throw me a lot of very unsubtle hints. And it was like, no, we're going to make some changes here. And that was hard for me. And that's why I brought that up and asked that question, because I think self-grieving can sometimes be a thing. And I was curious to know if that was something that you had come across or not. So I get what you're saying. It makes a lot of sense if people are in a more, no, I'm ready space. And do you find that people are more, when they come to you, are like, no, I'm ready. I recognize that things need to change.
Yeah. At the point, I mean, if somebody's listening to the show, they've gotten a lot of mirrors. I mean, that's really one of our goals, is like, it's a fine line. I don't want our show to be the most entertaining show. I want it to be a show where you leave and you have to ask yourself a new question. And when you ask yourself a new question, you get a new answer. So it's almost like I want the show and the content and the social media and everything that we do to kind of give people an idea of like, okay, there's going to be a lot of mirrors here. And I have to go into this very open and understanding that there's a potential for a lot of shifts. So yeah, I would say, but I understand completely. I mean, how many athletes do you hear about when they stop doing their athletic endeavors, they don't know who they are, what to do, because they have to form a new identity. I completely, what you're saying is 1,000,000% accurate.
Okay. Well, thank you for validating me. I appreciate that. Thank you. Well, let me ask you a question. If people want to work with you, because I have to say, Kevin, I really love everything that you're saying. I love the positivity, the energy, everything about you and what you are trying to achieve and help people achieve. So if people listen to the podcast and they go, yes, I need to work with Kevin, how would they go about doing that? Where can they find out more about you?
Yeah, I would say the website's probably the best place. You can just go to nextleveluniverse.com. And then my email is kevin@nextleveluniverse.com. I'm on all the social media platforms, but I understand maybe not everybody wants to send messages on Instagram or whatever. So I check my emails every day. If you email me, I will get it and I will respond.
I love it. I love it. So my question that I want to ask you, it's a question that I like to ask every single guest that comes on, is if you could give advice to young people, young adults who are struggling academically, social, emotionally, what advice would you give them?
I would probably say that many of us, we overcomplicate and we overestimate how much we need to change. You could make one small micro change today that could change everything in the next 5 to 10 years. So don't assume that you have to move a mountain today. I mean, it could be a grain of sand that starts today. It's that simple in the beginning. And it's not necessarily about the size of the stones we move. It's about the consistency with which we move them. So I would say that. And then just an understanding that I wish I had in the beginning. A lot of us assume where we are today is where we are forever. But we also assume that where somebody else is today is where they've been forever. And that's just not true. It's where they are today in their journey. And this is where you are today in your journey. It doesn't mean you can't be somewhere completely different in 5, 10, 15 years or a couple weeks. A lot can change in a small amount of time.
Oh, I love that. That is such great advice. And I think just the awareness and your advice too of that, yeah, things can change and people, everybody is going through their own challenges and their own growth. So fantastic advice. Thank you so much for that.
Of course. Of course.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for being on the show, for being here, for answering all of my questions and really focusing on how to help everybody level up. I really, truly appreciate the work you're out there doing and helping everybody become their authentic and true self. So I appreciate you being a guest.
Thank you. I appreciate you and the work you're doing. Like I said, I creeped on you before this, and I'm very proud to be here and proud to be on this platform and helping you help more people. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I truly appreciate you saying that. And thank you to all my listeners for tuning in and listening. And I will check you out next week on the Neurodiverse Teacher Podcast. Bye, y'all.